sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. That's not a prosperity principle. That is just simply a biblical principle for God's people. As you trust God and give, God will provide. That's his part of the deal. That's his promise. If you you sow sparingly, and you know what happens when we sow, so, you know, let's just be very practical. To sow, in my case, means write a check. Generally, we give in many ways. We give our time, we give our talents, we give our treasure. Somebody made that little phrase up. But the sowing is giving, writing a check. That's the way it happens a lot for me. And what happens is, as you write that, whatever God, and by the way, it says, whatever you give cheerfully to the Lord. So we're not talking about a tithe here. But we're saying God's people, they sow, which is the direct illustration or correlation with giving of money or time, talent, treasure, or time, or whatever. And then you have what's left. And then you pay your mortgage, and you pay your insurances, and you go grocery shopping, and you pay a car payment, and you do all those things, right? That's how you do it. And if you, the whole thing is a step of faith. The whole process is a step of faith. If you pay your mortgage first and you buy your groceries and you make your car payment and then you get down to the bottom and you go, well, now I'm going to decide what I'm going to give to the work of the Lord. Usually you're like, man, I don't know if I can give anything. But the trusting part is you give first. It's the first fruits. And then you balance the rest of your giving. And that's where we have to often make decisions. We have to say, well, maybe I can't afford this now. Or maybe I need to not purchase this now. It's a very practical thing. And from the Old Testament all the way through the Bible, that's what God's people do. So I'm going to just go through some of my things here that I put on the notes. So we live what's called the surrendered life. We're surrendered to Christ. He's now Lord of our life. God's people give of their time, their talent, and their treasures. The blessing in giving, which is being spent for Christ, the life of giving. The next slide says, living for Christ results in giving as he gave. And when you think of that very simple verse that we've all memorized, God so loved the world that he gave the most precious thing. He gave himself. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So the next line of this is that giving all you are and all you have for the sake of the gospel and God's glory. So I wanted to say the next slide is just an example. A month ago, Pastor Didier was here. And God touched some of your hearts. I was shocked. I honestly was. The mission board decided to move $1,000 of the monies that were in the mission fund to go to Pastor Didier. I thought that was generous. And then you guys gave. And you gave an additional $2,800. And then there was an honorarium that we give to any special speaker. So he ended up walking away for the Compassion for the Congo, helping these children, these orphan children, with $4,100 to a place where the average income of people is hundreds of dollars, if that. So I'm just telling you, that's an example of God's people giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says this, the love of Christ controls us or constrains us. Both of those words are used. The love of Christ controls us because we have concluded, the saved people have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live, guess what? That's us. That those who live might no longer live for themselves, but live for him who, for their sake, died and was raised again. And that's just an example from the Apostle Paul about who we are. We are the saved. We're the ones Christ died for. Now, we no longer live for ourselves. We live for him who died and rose again for us. And you guys, these truths of the Bible, they cut me to the heart. I have to go and examine my life and my own stewardship every time I'm faced with these scriptures. We no longer live for ourselves. It's really easy to live for myself. It's really easy to put myself first. But what God says is, he says, now we no longer live for ourselves. So when something touches your heart, Pastor Didier comes and he tells a story of the Congo and the orphanage, and you say, I want to be part of that. And you do, and you did. Someone comes along, probably all of you receive mailers, maybe from Jews for Jesus or Gideon's or a missionary friend that you know or somebody, Compassion International, a child who's going to be supported. By the way, our church, you, we sponsor at least 20 children out of our church family. I can't remember the number. But if anybody could multiply 20 times $38 a month times 12 months a year, add that to what people are already giving here that's going to Compassion International for children who are in all kinds of countries. Did you figure it out, Dan? $9,100 in addition to what people are already giving. And I actually think it's more children than that, but that's the last I remember. So on the next slide, I just wrote this, the blessing of giving. God's people give. So here's kind of the sequence. God gave. His people give. They are generous. They are sacrificial. And they trust God to provide. Do you remember the story in the Old Testament where Elijah, and there's a famine in the land, and Elijah comes to this widow's home, and he says to her, bake me a cake. And she goes, look, I'm out of food. I don't have anything left. And he says, God said, bake me a cake, and then God will provide. And the widow acts by faith, and she bakes for Elijah, and then God provides. And it says, her flour did not run out, and her oil did not run out, and she and her child were able then to continue to live. So the principle is that we trust God to provide. The next thing, tithing is a model for giving. Tithing means tenth. So if you have $100 in the Old Testament times, people would say, here's $100, I'll give the first 10. That's a tithe. If you have $1,000, you give the first 100. Tithing is a model, but it is not the New Testament model for giving. Really, God leaves the model and the amount of giving up to you. That's where 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, you, and we'll get to there, but basically, it's between you and God. You say, God, here is my income. I understand first fruits. God, here's my income, and this is what I feel compelled that I need to give. So it's really a very spirit-led decision on your part as to what you would give. But I'll just say again, God's people give. We just do. Abraham gave a tenth to the Lord. You remember in that scene where he's facing Melchizedek and he gives a tenth of the spoil that he had had. Israel gave in many ways. In fact, if you were to read this Deuteronomy 12 passage, it's amazing how the people of God gave. And at that time, there was the tabernacle or the temple that God had directed for them to build. And when the general people gave, it was to pay for the Levites and the priests, so that the priests and the Levites could eat and have a place to live, and it was also a place for to help the fatherless and the widows and the orphans. And so there was specific responsibility for the monies that were given. The tithe was brought, Deuteronomy 14, to support, as I said, the Levites, the fatherless, and the widows. And then in 2 Chronicles 31, the people generously were bringing a tithe of all that they had to the tabernacle. That's a wonderful passage of scripture. 2 Chronicles 31, you should write it down and read it, and it will bless you to read what the people did. In fact, there's a section in the Old Testament where it says the people brought so much that what did they have to say? Stop bringing it. It's too much. We have too much coming in here. That was a lot of generosity, a lot of sacrifice on the people of God's part. In Luke, now we're jumping to this Luke 6 passage. Jesus is teaching, and he's teaching us to, he says, and this is where I and you have to believe his words, give, and it will be given unto you. It's really simple. Give, and it will be given unto you. You remember in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, or Matthew 6, 33, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto you. And I know I am very simple, but I just think we're called on to believe the words of Scripture. Every word of God is profitable. Seek first the kingdom of God. Believe him, trust him, serve him, obey him. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things, and in that passage, it had been talking about very practical things, food and clothes, the basic stuff. And he says, all these things will be added unto you. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it is this principle of scripture, and it's borne out not just in this one verse, but these whole chapters, and that is, sow bountifully, reap bountifully. And Dan's been asking for testimonies again about how God has provided. And years ago, one of Chuck Cherney's favorite examples was how this guy, R.J. Letourneau. Do you remember that name? If you're an older person, you might remember R.J. Letourneau. And he developed some incredibly big, powerful, earth-moving machines. And he said, he was a Christian man, and he said, I am going to put God to the test. It's the only time in Malachi where it says we should put God to the test. And R.J. Letourneau started out by giving 10% of his business proceeds to the work of Christ. And then he thought, well, I'll give 20%. And then he started giving 20% to see if God, and God provided. And then he gave 30%. And then he gave 40%. Then he gave 50%. We're not talking just a trial period, long periods of time, until R.J. Letourneau was living, giving like 80% of all of the proceeds. How much? Did it get up to 90? I need to reread the story. And R.J. Letourneau was basically trusting God to provide, and God provided. And so the principle is, sow bountifully, reap bountifully. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. So if any of us are in the category of sowing sparingly, and you haven't seen God provide bountifully, probably that's a step of faith for you, for me, to sow bountifully instead of sparingly. In Psalm 24, 1, it's just a simple reminder. We understand that everything we possess is from God. The psalmist writes, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. This next passage in Exodus 35, I just wanted to begin to teach the principle of the heart. God's person has a heart that wants to trust and follow God, be submissive to God, and obey God. And in the, even in the Old Testament, because we say, well, in the Old Testament, the people tithed. They did. And they tithed, I've heard somebody say, like 22% of their goods and income to the temple. But then they had free will offerings on top of that. Whatever God put on your heart to give, you would give. And so it says, then all the congregation of the sons of Israel departed from Moses' presence. Everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting and for all its service and for its holy garments. Then all whose heart moved them, both men and women, came and brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and bracelets, articles of gold. So they did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord. So there were the tithings that were given, and tithings were often like a tax. It wasn't, so there was the tithing part, and then there was the free will giving part. In 2 Corinthians 9, that's often what it talks about. In fact, let's jump there. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 8, this is a principle that is so important to us as people who walk with God. And this is actually what the verse says. It says, the point is this. Okay? So Paul is very clear. He wants us to get it. He says, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. So let's just stop there. If you're struggling with budget and finance, and this is a call to responsibility. This is a call to practical, intelligent decision-making with finances. He says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Listen to verse 7. Each person, and this is one of the reasons Jim Eggert has no idea what anybody in this building ever gives. The pastors have never seen any check that you write. I don't know who gives. I don't know how much you give. I don't know how little you give. I don't know anything. Here's what it says, verse 7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. So it is between you and God. And frankly, I wanted to say about our budget meeting this morning, it was discouraging and concerning to me. You know, me and Dan, and Roland and Brad, all the other deacons from the past, when you got a budget of $330,000 and $240,000 comes in, it's like your own family budget, you think, Lord, how are we going to survive, right? Here's what I want to tell you. Every bill that Pioneer Bible had last year is paid. Every bill. Every bill, every propane bill, every check that given for salaries, wages, every bill was paid. And people say, well, yeah, because somebody gave a special gift that year and we wouldn't have been able to do it had God, had that person not given a special gift. All I can tell you is over 27 years I've been around, it just seems like when things get tight, God gives a special gift. Our dear friend Lou Lindich, who most of you don't know, but she was a little lady in our church. She willed her house to Pioneer Bible Church when she died. And so when it was, the trust was dispersed, Pioneer Bible Church got a gift. Peter Reinders was a man in our church who was here when I got here. He was somebody who really urged Rob Lankford to be able to hire me. Nobody knew, but when Peter passed away, he left $100,000 to Pioneer Bible Church. And it came at just the right time for Pioneer Bible Church's financial need. You know, when we buy an air conditioner, it's like $15,000 to $20,000, or anyway, three or four years ago, a little couple who sat right here, where Will and Ashley are, Herb and Gisela, nobody knew anything about Herb and Gisela. And Herb and Gisela had in their will that Pioneer Bible Church would receive some money. So about 3 years ago, we started getting these checks from Herb's trust. It totaled $140,000 that came into Pioneer Bible Church. Now, people say, well, you can't count on those. Those are one-time money. That's true. But let me tell you, God provides when we need provision. Now, sometimes it leaves you hanging on the edge of your seat because you don't know when it's coming in. But it has. And I could stand here and tell you more stories of people who have had Christ and the church on their mind, and they gave. By the way, I think you need to have a trust. I'll tell you why. Because many times I've sat with families whose mothers and fathers did not make a trust. And it causes the family to be at loggerheads because they don't know what the parents had intended for their estate, whether it's bank accounts or a house or property. For your family's sake and for the peace in your family's sake, you should have a trust or a will or something that expresses your desire. And I would say to you, you might consider putting ministry as a portion of your trust. And I mean that honestly. That we considered that when we made our trust, that a portion of it would go to ministry. You know, I want our kids to be taken care of as well. But that's just wise and godly thinking, I think. And by the way, one of my friends said, not only that, but in your trust you should have a rapture clause. A rapture clause. He said, and what you should do is you should have an unbeliever be your executor and say, if the rapture happens, since you're not saved and you're going to be here, you can be in charge of my monies to be sure they get taken care of after the rapture happens. And this man who told me this said, it is the best evangelism tool ever, because you're saying to people, I'm going to be gone, and you're going to be left with this responsibility. He said, then that one gets saved, and then you find some other unsaved person to be your executor for your will. And by the way, I know that's funny, but I believe all these things. I think it's responsible. And I think it is also faithful thinking about the future. So since this is kind of a family morning, I will say to you also that many of you people have only been in the church maybe the last 5 or 10 years. Prior to that, there was a pastor here named Rob Langford. He served here 43 years. By the way, today, this weekend, is Pioneer Bible Church's 50th anniversary of gospel work. It was yesterday. Milt Kammerer was here when it started. Please. So for those that are watching, Kathleen just said, last year, this weekend, February 25th, that this next year, today, would be our 50th anniversary of ministry. And but the reason that I bring that up is that when Pastor Langford retired, our church voted as a group to give him a pension, an ongoing pension of handling some medical insurance premiums and a pension, a monthly pension of $750. And so the church, every month, even though he's been gone 7 years, every month, that's our commitment. And I just want to say to you, as the church family, we need to remember that we're not only supporting me and the staff and the church facility, but we're also supporting, to some degree, Pastor Rob in his retirement. And that's about $21,000 a year. So I will say to you, it would also be good, maybe if you wanted to be part of Rob's future and his family, that could be a consideration that you could consider also, because some of you were here then and voted for that and voiced that concern. So these are just really practical things, okay? All right, a couple of the thoughts before we close up. So I'd like to skip the next slide. Mark, if you could skip the next slide and go to the following one. Go one more, please. There you go. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Yeah, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3 is an amazing passage of scripture. That's where we find the verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And then later in verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. You guys, this is a promise from God. This isn't manipulation from me. This is for you to trust him. He says, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. The way to receive in our Christian walk is to give, to trust God. Giving is a step of faith. And I just would say that to you. I want my children to be givers. I want God's people to be givers. Yes, it does support the ministry, but the promise is to you. God's promise is to you. It's to me. If I fail in these instructions, I am going to reap the negative benefit. I am. If I am not faithful, I will feel it. Financially, I'll feel it in the peace or that I have or don't have, the joy that I have or don't have. Let me tell you, if you're spent to the gills, you are stressed. And we've all experienced that stress. God says, have your house in order. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. There is, I'm going to skip a few things, and there's a song coming up. Years ago, there was an older woman. Her name was Frances Ridley Havergal. And she was born in 1873 and died in 1879, a long time ago, relatively. And this is kind of her story. Actually, it's 30 seconds worth. I'll just read it. Frances Havergal lost her mother at an early age. Then she contracted a terrible skin disease. She lived but spent the remainder of her life plagued with poor health, fevers, and serious bouts of illness. Frances Havergal never married but spent time with her sisters and their families, traveled to the mountains in Switzerland a number of times, and wrote. Much of her work was published after her death at the age of 42, so she only lived to age 42. Frances Havergal was convinced, I want to be convinced, she was convinced of God's sovereign hand on her life, and she felt her illness was no surprise to God, and any condition we're in is no surprise to God. Though Frances was frustrated by the need to rest, both to avoid acute illness and in the face of her frequent illnesses, she saw God's hand even in this. She submitted to him in illness and in health. And just kind of as a closing, most of you probably don't remember this old hymn, but I'm going to invite you to sing it with me. And these are the words that she wrote. And it's just this old song, the few stanzas. But here's, let me just read the first one. Take my life. So this is a prayer. Lord, take my life and let my life be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. This is a song of personal commitment, personal trust. How many of you have heard of this song before? That's good. You can help me sing it. Okay? And so it goes like this. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow with ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee, filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use, repower as thou shalt choose, every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. In the last verse, take my love, my God, I pour. At thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee, ever only all for thee. Beautiful. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we are the people of God. God, thank you that you have shown your mercy and grace to us. God, you give us such clear direction and principle by which to live in every way in our life. And frankly, Lord, we are the one that's in deficit if we neglect these things. Lord, whether it be how we treat our children or how we treat our spouse or what we do with our stewardships. And Lord, we love you. We trust you for salvation. Help us, Lord, to trust you with our daily life and investments. God, I thank you. When I think back on these 27 years and I think back on the 50 years that Pioneer Bible Church has been sharing the gospel, when I think back on the centuries of the church, God's people have been faithful. Thank you, Lord, for entrusting to your people the responsibility, the stewardship of time, treasure, and talents, Lord. God, we love you. We want to serve you. We are serving you. Give us strength to do it wholeheartedly. Thank you for this wonderful family of Christ here. Use us to your glory. We agree together and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. It's fun to be part of Christ and his church, isn't it?